Metal cough. Did you do it yet?
No.
Metal cough.
Hey, Behaves.
Here we go. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, thanks for hanging out with us live on the tube. If you are listening to this podcast, don't forget you can also watch it live on the Haberman of Metal Cough YouTube channel.
Hope you guys are having a week. Have a week. Feel good. Feel great, actually, today, guy. Feel outstanding. I was in bed last night on Monday night. By about, there might have been a seven in front of the, on the clock.
Didn't stick around for
asleep,
Minshew, huh?
But just in bed. Yeah, I mean, I live my life. I do not, the preseason, the second half, television off or channel changed. I saw some highlights and it looked ugly. Looked very ugly.
It looked like exactly what it's supposed to look like in the second half. Can I tell you something? You're going to need the information that you'll be happy to hear.
Yeah, give it to me.
So Saturday, week zero of the college football season starts.
Whoa.
Nebraska, Illinois are on TV at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
This Saturday?
On Fox.
This
Saturday, baby.
Game?
Week zero. We got six games. Or five games.
Is that Scott Frost?
Scott Frost. Brett Bielema. Brett Bielema.
Yeah. Brett Bielema. I like Brett Bielema in that game. How about you?
Yeah. A lot going on there for Nebraska. The 5-5-9 quarterback hasn't quite penciled out. UConn visits Fresno State. I think they're like a 21-point favorite.
The Dogs play this Saturday?
Hawaii, Todd Graham's Hawaii Rainbow Warriors visit Chip Kelly's UCLA Bruins.
The Bruins play Saturday?
Yep.
I swear I did not know any of this.
Our guy, friend of the show, guest of the show, Brent Brennan, San Jose State Spartans, begin their defense of the Mountain West at 7 p.m. Pacific. I guess not technically their defense. Southern Utah is not in the Mountain West. But nonetheless, Spartans are back in action, John. CBS Sports Network on Saturday night.
God, there are. You're right. How about, why are the Dogs such big, oh wait, Fresno State is favored.
Yeah, favored.
Is it Connecticut, a division? What division are they in?
Well, remember, they used to be good for like a few years. Randy Edsall, and then the Big East fell apart, and I don't know what happened to them.
That's glaring to watch minus 27.5 Fresno State. Like that's it feels like it should be flipped, but the Dogs are back, baby. See Jeff Tedford,
UCLA?
Was that with Wilcox taking pictures?
I did see that at FTX Field, the 10-year, $17 million naming rights agreement at Cal.
What'd they get? Coinbase. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cryptocurrency exchange, FTX.
Field at
Cal Memorial Stadium.
Well, you know Fresno State, they named Bulldog Stadium. 10-year deal. Valley Children's. I don't know if it's officially been announced yet, but it's coming.
That's Valley Children's Hospital is a major part of the Central Valley. Very cool. Derek and Dave.
Someone told me they helped facilitate it. You know, big friends of the program, obviously.
Well, remember Derek's first son, right, had to go to Valley Children's Hospital.
When DeRuiter got him off the practice field, right? And he sprinted.
I don't remember exactly what the issue was, but yeah, there was a scary situation when with his first child.
Was it Dallas? So, was that his son's name?
You know, I'm not positive. That sounds right, though.
Yeah, it does. We're big Cowboy fans growing up.
Yeah. All right, so here we are. Don't forget, everybody, here's what you do. You go to iTunes, or you go to the Haberman and Middlecoff Facebook page, which is linked in the YouTube and in the podcast description. But start with iTunes if you already have done it there, or you live in a nation that blocks, you know, I don't know, American iTunes reviews. Then you can go to the Facebook page and leave us a review. In that review, 5 stars, ask us a question. That's how you get in the ham mailbag.
Very easy. Also, Facebook page. You go there, like Haberman Middlecoff Facebook page. We have LinkedIn's if you want to come befriend us on LinkedIn's. I had a guy shoot me a DM today on LinkedIn. So you can find us various places. Instagram, Guy Haberman, at John Middlecoff. Shoot us an Instagram. Definitely, if you got Tito's, we get a lot of DMs with pictures of our friends drinking Tito's. And, you know, it's 12:40 right now on Tuesday. Not quite afternoon, but I think there's a couple Tito's in store for me a little later today.
I mean, it is afternoon. So
yeah, it's afternoon.
Albert on YouTube says, yes, his name is Dallas. And then Albert says, here comes Tito's. Yeah, you know it. You know it. We love being associated with Here Comes Tito's. We are sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka, John. You know what I've got? Maybe many of you have this. Maybe you don't, but you should have one. I've got a clamshell, the plastic thing that strawberries come in my fridge, and I'm under specific instructions to eat some strawberries, which is always so much effort because you got to wash them, and you got to cut out the little core thing, or you got to bite the core and throw it away. It's just, you know, effort. Here's a great thing to use strawberries with, John. How about a Tito's strawberry lemonade? Our guy Devin sent us the recipe. It's very simple. 1.5 ounces of Tito's handmade vodka, 4 ounces of lemonade, and 5 fresh strawberries sliced. You lightly muddle the strawberries into a glass. You add the vodka, the lemonade, and the ice. You stir and garnish with a strawberry or a lemon slice.
Guy, this is more than a vodka. This is an American business story. Once upon a time, Tito Beverage, who started this great company, still owns it, maxed out 19 credit cards, guy. 19. Think about that. Put it all on the line.
How do you get
all
19?
The chips in the... it was probably a little easier 20, 25 years ago, and no one would mess with them. Vodka in Texas, people said it couldn't be done. Now it's the number one vodka in America. He believed. Jimmy Johnson, guy. Jimmy Johnson, I wrote this down because you said he gave a great speech. I watched his Hall of Fame speech.
Great speech.
He said, I've always believed this. I am not a dreamer. I believe. I'm a believer.
Yep.
And there's a big difference. I'm like, God, that hit me. That spoke to my soul. Tito, this guy wasn't a dreamer. He was a believer. He believed it. Number one vodka in America. Go have yourself a Tito soda. Go have yourself a Tito strawberry lemonade. Go have yourself a Tito. Handmade vodka, Austin, Texas. No big deal. American made.
Yeah, big fans. Big fans, big fans, big fans of the whole operation. Great to be associated with Tito's because we know that you guys love it because it's something we believe in. It's a great product. So keep sending us your photos of you enjoying your Tito's. All right. Podcast also brought to you by MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one, MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1, where right now MyBookie is matching 100% of your deposit up to $1,000. That's the bonus. Remember, if you accept the bonus, you have to bet the full amount before you can withdraw the funds. You can also decline the bonus, but either way, use HAM1 so they know that we sent you.
Well, guy, I didn't even know this. I'm glad you brought it up. We have college football games to gamble on. UCLA, Fresno State, Illinois, Nebraska, boom, bada bing. I kind of like Brett Bielema getting 7 at home. It's very juicy. MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1, match your deposit up to $1,000, dollar for dollar. You want to bet on PGA Golf? This is kind of a bomber's paradise, I guess, this BMW championship. Bryson DeChambeau right now, 28-1. Kepka, 25-1. Like, those odds on those guys, it's a no-cut event, 70 people in the field. Like, Kepka was just in the mix up until, like, Monday. Like, these guys, they're two of the best. 25 and 28-1 in a bomber's paradise? I'm going to dabble on both those two guys. And I'd just go 6 to midnight right now thinking about them playing in the last group on Sunday.
Or Monday. That's what I would want.
Or Monday. Yeah, or Monday.
Give me Monday. That's again. What
I like Monday. I'm a fan. MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Get your gamble on, people.
Yeah. Monday,
I think we're
going
to play in the Super Contest this year, too. We'll get into that next week.
The Super Contest, how much is that?
You know, it's only $10 to join, but you just pick, you get to pick one team a week, and once you use the team, I have to look at the rules, but I'm pretty sure that team is no longer available. So yep. You can't just, hammer the Ravens one week and then use them for like 3 straight weeks when they got shitty opponents or whoever, right?
Gotcha.
If you're going to use the Chiefs, you better know they're going to win.
We spent a lot of time talking on Sunday night, and I think our comments about Trey Lance wore really well in the last couple of days. We talked about it going back to last Thursday. He got the first team reps Friday. He played some more on Sunday, and we believed by Sunday night, as we talked through it, quarterback competition was back open, or maybe it never closed. So then we've had the whole game to digest. And we also had intrepid reporter Grant Cohn of YouTube fame, among other things, catch the audio press conference of Kyle Shanahan, which he says, I'm just trying to get him better and get him ready for. And then he stops whatever he was about to say and gets to another comment. And then somebody, also very sharp, in the replies to this tweet from Grant, which is on the screen, posted a video of Trey Lance from the Sunday Night Post game in which they ask him, does your experience at North Dakota State when you knew you weren't going to be the starter help you? And he says, no, that was different. You know, Easton Stick was going to be the guy, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I guess maybe it is kind of the same. So are Kyle and Trey Lance almost letting us in on a secret that they already know? Or on a most basic level, do they not know what they're doing yet? And that tells us that there still is a chance that Trey Lance is the week one starter for the 49ers.
My educated guess, starting with the player, he doesn't know. Kyle hasn't told him, you're actually the starter week one. Beside, maybe, and he's alluded to this, you're going to play, be ready at any moment. I think in Kyle's mind, and for whatever reason, I know I pivoted, and I am completely back with Haberman, that I don't expect him to start week one, but I think it's very, very possible. Like, I am not going to be, when Adam Schefter tweets out in a week, Kyle has announced to the team Trey Lance is going to be the starter for week one, not going to be shocked. I can't wait to talk about it and do a big podcast about it, but I think that's a very real possibility. And I think it's fair to say that Kyle has pivoted throughout training camp. Because if you remember, him and John Lynch talked, I think, a day or two before guys reported. And he was adamant. Jimmy Garoppolo's our starting quarterback, which he'd said all offseason. And they had said that. Remember, they had hammered it down. Once they made the trade, they immediately called Jimmy, and they said, listen, you're still the starting quarterback. You know, they were just trying to be nice to him. But their story has stayed consistently straight. Kyle has pivoted. Because when Matt Maiocco asked him, like, is Jimmy Garoppolo your starting quarterback, he wouldn't answer the question. Which, again, is basically because I think he realizes, what am I waiting for? That, to me, is the question. What am I waiting
for? I'll answer the question. He's waiting to believe that Trey Lance can do enough. He's waiting to believe that Trey Lance can do enough to trust him. That's what he's waiting for. Because he already knows what Jimmy Garoppolo gives him. And what Jimmy Garoppolo gives him is not total safety or total
confidence. It's a roller coaster ride, guy. He's a roller coaster ride.
Yes. You are not getting Alex Smith. I've said it for a long time, and now I've been hammering it for 4 days. Don't believe the lie that this is just about Jimmy's injury history, because it's not. It's about they traded up to try and get a top five quarterback. So the question that Kyle Shanahan asked once upon a time about Jimmy Garoppolo, is this guy good? You know, is this guy top five? Maybe he already knew the answer when he got him, but we know the answer. That's no. So the question now is not, is Trey Lance a top five quarterback? The question for right now, week one of the NFL season, is can I trust Trey Lance enough to put him out there and hopefully gain back some of what I give up when I have him on the field?
Well, I was actually thinking about this today when I was pumping a little iron at the gym. It crossed my mind that in 2019, when Jimmy was having, and the team was having a good season, and Jimmy, for the most part, played well. And one talking point that, you know, we have obviously talked a lot of Raiders historically, was that Jimmy Garoppolo, I would rather have the 2019 Jimmy Garoppolo than the 2019 Derek Carr. And then last year, it kind of pivoted. And things change. Like the NFL players, having just been in there and just watching how we evaluate and give grades, it's very fluid. It really is. A player is like a stock market. One day it's up, one day it's down. Now, your best players, right, Jalen Ramsey or DK Metcalf or just Patrick Mahomes, they always feel like they trend up for a decade. A lot of players, though, go up and down. And the moment you start consistently going down or just plateauing, that means you're getting worse. Like, Jimmy didn't get any better. He's just the same guy that he was 3 years ago. And maybe it's just as simple as, well, that's ultimately why he was a late second-round pick. He has some physical limitations. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he just is the same guy. And when you stay the same, and like Derek, I think, has really improved. Just like Kirk Cousins has improved. If you do not improve in the NFL, you actively, it sounds great, you get worse. Because you get passed. And the moment you get passed, and also, every year in the sport, at definitely other positions, not as much at quarterback, but you get new players in. So if, like, I'm a defensive lineman and I've just stayed the same for a couple years ago, eventually I'm going to get fucked because they're just going to draft two or three guys over a couple year span, and one of those guys is going to eventually beat me out if I don't keep maintaining my talent and my ability.
And also there's a financial element, right? You start hanging around, you become expendable. More expensive.
Yeah,
and so that's but
and you become cuttable with a contract, which there are elements to Jimmy. Like, I'm not saying you should do this, but he is cuttable for free. They can cut him for nothing. I would keep them. We've talked about that, and I'm sure we'll get into that if that becomes a legit discussion. But if they want to, they can get rid of $25 million like that.
Yeah, right? Well, no backup is worth $25 million, but there is a value that he has. And so if the value is paying him nothing or paying $25 million, you might end up overpaying to have something than not paying anything to have Nate Sudfeld be your backup quarterback, right?
Yes.
I think this is this summarizes it very well, I think. YouTube comment from Sway. I don't think Shanahan is waiting to believe in Lance. He is confirming his disbelief in Garoppolo. He knows right now at this point in time there is a difference between Garoppolo has advantages over Trey Lance.
Yeah. How would he have belief in Lance beside just the guy and the physical tools, right? Because he's never seen him play games.
Part of the belief in Lance has to be the belief in himself. Like, I can put this guy in enough good spots that the mistakes that he will inevitably make, we can overcome.
Wouldn't you say it's probably 80-20 that right now, given that he just has zero resume in real games against real game plans and just how he'll handle getting hit and just – there's unknown. There just is.
You know, if he had just played Zach Wilson's season, maybe it'd be – now, obviously, Zach's in a different situation with the Jets. But Trey Lance hasn't I this was what Sunday was made it so crystal clear to me. The guy needs to be playing football games. The guy needs to be playing. He needs to be playing because – practicing doesn't help him in the moments when his footwork goes wonky. And so, like Shanahan said, the reason he starts throwing these fastballs is because his footwork's off. Remember, they spent all this time talking about, and Mike McDaniel said it a few weeks ago, your footwork, it's all tied to your footwork. Your footwork. Shanahan said it too.
And that's are you expecting a tweet in the next 7 days from Adam Schefter that Trey Lance has been named the starting quarterback?
I kind of am, yeah.
Because there's probably not anything Jimmy can do like this week. What's going to change that? It's already in his mind. Professional situations. When you get it made up in your mind, you just start looking for reasons. Like it's rare that you just like, let's flip a Huey and go back to where we once were.
Well, he doesn't know yet.
Happen.
We agree on that. Shanahan does not know what he's going
to
do right
well,
now.
Well, I just don't think he's confident enough yet to pull the trigger / knows he doesn't need to do it
Put it this way. He has not named Jimmy the starter in his head.
Fuck no. But I also think he knows, let's say he's like 80-20 going with Trey. It doesn't behoove him to do that on August 24th.
But also
with the team and just, you got some other stuff to figure out. You got 3 weeks away from week one. You do have some time.
We also have another game. Like we talked about this last week before they played the Chargers. He'd only played one game. There was two more games in the course of 7 days, but it's two more games. So now he played Sunday night. Now he's got another game to play. Like, I think this game, like these games, like there's a reason Trey Lance kept playing on Sunday. Because these games matter to his, how he plays matters to Kyle. He traded up to three. He wants him to work.
The more I think about it, I'll be a little surprised if an Adam Schefter tweet comes out. Kyle has told the team Jimmy Garoppolo starting week one. That actually will surprise me at this point. After watching Kyle's mannerisms Sunday night, listening to the audio on Monday, and just kind of going back to think big picture. Steve Young summarized it. Then Steve Young stopped talking, and Adam Schefter, and Steve called him out on it. He's like, Adam, you're acting like you don't know. I know you know. Because Adam's like, well, they haven't decided. They're just letting it all play out and taking in all the information. And that's what they were going to do from the jump. It's just easier. I think it's the right football move to quell the craziness of not doing a quarterback competition, but actually kind of doing one. You know, because if you come out and say, Pete Carroll style, maybe you do it when you haven't accomplished anything, but if you're kind of like, I don't even want to deal with this. I can just do it on my own. I don't need to be like, it's a quarterback competition. Every two, they're repping. It's like, think of the circus. It already is a circus. I would say that would go 10x on just the craziness.
Yeah, and also, if you're going to end up with Garoppolo, it doesn't really help Garoppolo to make him win the job. You can just make him the starter, and then you can give Lance the job. There's no rule. You're in charge, right?
Yeah.
You get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, I think they made the move, I think they looked as Jimmy. And this is the sad. Sad would be strong. He's made a shitload of money with the Niners. They're using him as a pawn. I mean, if they will, because I don't think it's inconceivable that they cut him. I would say that would be a little shocking. Well, just because if he gets it, great. If he doesn't, we'll cut his ass. We'll ask him to take a $15 million pay cut. Like, they're just using him. Like, it's just, they don't give a shit. Like, they're not.
Are they going to pay him $25 $25 million because they like him?
Yeah, but they are no longer, like, invested in his, really, in a weird way, like, his success.
No, the second you trade up to three, you've moved on. eventually. Yeah. And now it's about your goals and our goals are the same for different reasons. You want to extend your career and prove to somebody else you can still win. And we just want you to be good enough to help us win. But that's just until we're ready to put Trey Lance in.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Would people be disappointed if Lance was a more athletic Tannehill? Yes.
Yes.
I think so. Would you be disappointed? Or is Tannehill over time going to...
I would say the problem with that analogy...
And that question comes from Jesse, by the way.
If Ryan Tannehill had been the quarterback his entire time on the Titans, I think we would view him differently.
I think that's true.
He's rooted through a Miami lens where people question it. That is a good question.
But here's the thing. I'll go back to this. Is he a top five quarterback? Or does he have a chance to be a top five quarterback? Just in the realm.
Wait, say that again. Sorry.
Does Ryan Tannehill have a chance to be, forget about top five, top eight, top nine quarterback?
It feels like kind of his peak.
Because Kyle Shanahan wants a top five quarterback. He didn't trade up. He didn't trade a bunch of picks to get up to three to get a guy who might be top 10 sometimes.
Like, for example.
He wants a top five quarterback. That's what he's said that.
Ryan, 16 starts, 16 games, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks.
I know.
At 65%. The previous year, he had only started 10 games, probably on pace for, you know, a 38-9 season at a much higher completion percentage.
Yeah, you know how old he is?
Probably younger than you think.
Nah, probably older than you think.
33?
Yeah.
So he's older than Russell Wilson. Well, you know Cam's 32? He feels like he's 39.
I would have guessed 35.
Yeah, Cam and Russell are same age. I guess all these guys are the same.
Question, Jesse.
So what's Andrew Luck now? Like 32, 33?
Yeah,
probably?
Young enough to be in his prime. So, but the game this week matters, and it doesn't just matter for – part of this is – part of the reason we're here is because Garoppolo hasn't been great. But again, who expected it? Like, this is, we've seen the evidence. He's played in the games. You're not going to get great often. You'll get it a couple times. He has been great in games before, but consistently great?
Yeah, I would throw away the great word. Is he even a good, do you feel good? Is he a good quarterback?
I think he's a good quarterback, yeah. Is he a really good quarterback? I don't think so. Because he's not consistently. Better. He's not consistently better than his good is not consistently much better than his bad. Yes. I think he's good. I think there is a category of quarterback. There are two categories of quarterbacks ahead of him. Then there's his category, and then there's like guys that.
Yeah, some shitty guys in the 20s. But he's closer to probably 20 than he is 10 right now. He's probably like 18, 19, 20 range.
Yeah.
Where I think they were hoping. Maybe they never believed he would be a top five-ish guy, but if he could just huddle around top 10, they'd be in good shape. I think they view it, back to what my original point about getting better or getting worse, even if he stayed the same, he's actually regressed because other guys have like come into the league. Josh Allen got good, Lamar Jackson, right? Baker's now good. Like you get past. It's to me, what makes the NFL so fucking pure is and it relates so much to society is like, if you're not good enough, you just get thrown to the... There aren't scholarships. There's not like these 7-year contracts in baseball and basketball. You're like, God, we would have cut this guy 3 years. In football, even Ndamukong Suh, you sign this huge deal 2 years in, the Dolphins are like, yeah, we're cutting him next year. You know, it happens so fast. And Jimmy's contract is very just... He's not tied to anybody anymore. That's, like you said, it is dependent on your contract, and most guys in the NFL do not have conducive contracts for safety, right? Financial safety.
Yeah. Well, this is not an ad, but at my bookie right now, still, the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year offensive is Trevor Lawrence, then Trey Lance, then Justin Fields, then then Kyle Pitts, then Mac Jones. You know, he is better set up for success right now, Trey Lance is, based on the players around him, than Justin Fields is. Than Zach Wilson is, than Trevor Lawrence is. Mac Jones might be himself more ready for success, but he doesn't have better players around him than Trey Lance does, right? Like, if you're thinking about the rookies who can play right now, and the guys that are, like several of them are going to play right now, Trey Lance is better set up to succeed than any. Now, he's played less football games than all of them, too. But in terms of what's around him.
Yeah.
Right?
If Fields comes in though and they start winning, he'll be viewed more as a savior than Trey would be viewed as. I would imagine. I would say yes. Fields has the opportunity that if he comes in and lights the world on fire to have a lot of momentum on his side. Where Trey, I think Kyle will take some of the credit. The defense will take some of the credit. The running game will take
and
some of the
credit.
And they
might ask him to do a little less than Justin. Justin is just going to spin out and take off.
Yeah, and just run for his life.
I mean, what do you think Kyle's think? What do you think Kyle would be thinking sitting on his couch? I don't know if he ever sits on his couch, but
yeah, I don't think
in his office. Watching these other guys.
Well, how does that not put a little pressure on him to play Trey Lance? Just based on Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are going to play. We've known that. But Cam Corona, who knows? And clearly the Patriots immediately leaked out. They're not happy. And someone was quoted as like, now this opens up the door for Mac Jones. What if Mac Jones is just a week one starter? So then three of the five guys are starting. We know, you know, Kyle watches these games, just offenses around the league. Then all of a sudden, Mac Jones. What if Mac Jones is good for the Patriots, guy? You don't think Kyle's going to be like, want to show off his toy? Especially if, assuming that he goes with Jimmy, which we are just kind of said feels kind of unlikely at this point in time.
I don't know if Kyle feels the pressure watching those guys. You know, he has the experience in his pocket of having succeeded with a rookie quarterback. Like, he has done that. So it would not be uncharted territory for him, you know? Like, he did it with RG3. And he believes in RG3, I think, less than he believes in Trey Lance.
Yeah, but RG3 was more ready to just do what they did with him. Like, he had played a lot in college, had
I'm
won
just
the
saying,
Heisman.
Kyle sitting at his desk has done, he has been through this before. Maybe he didn't love that experience. Maybe that's why he, you know, it's possible that he looks back and goes like, God, we went to the playoffs with RG3. If we had had a veteran quarterback, we could have been so much better. Maybe he thinks that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't part
of it. Thought of it that way before.
I think Mike sent him out to, what's his name, at the little general in Nevada, and he kind of learned some of the pistol run game stuff, and they implemented that stuff for RG3. I don't know if it was, didn't enjoy it, because how can you not enjoy winning? I think it more became, they're so scarred from the human. Because the big part of it, remember, was immediately then his dad was like, fucking run a normal offense for my son. They're like, holy shit, calm down, buddy.
Yeah.
I feel like RG3, the experience scarred him more than that. Because I do think it gets talked about sometimes. They had to run like this collegiate offense, even though a lot of teams kind of run it now. And the Niners, when we've been at practice, they have elements of it, right?
Yeah, Yeah, it's true, but I'm just saying we look at that experience as like evidence that he should be able to play a rookie quarterback right away. But I wonder if he looks at that experience and says, if I'd had a better, more prepared quarterback, I could have won more games.
But they won the division.
Well, I know, but he might look back and go, we could have been better if I didn't have to run a training wheels offense.
Well, I think the question mark, big picture, is always going to be back on that individual situation. Remember, he tore his knee up in the playoff game against Seattle. It was pouring rain.
Yep.
If RG3 never gets hurt, who knows? It probably still gets weird. But I do believe that, like, that showed to me his adaptability immediately, which any good coach, like, the point of being a coach is not, like, if one guy does something really well and it's not in quote-unquote your playbook or on your whiteboard, if you can't throw in a couple plays for what he does well, and I think Kyle does a good job, like, Debo Samuel clearly is pretty good at the end around, right? And he's comfortable doing it. He fucking hits the hole hard. Like, they run the shit out of that play. Like, he does run plays for his guys that they excel at. But any good offensive coach, to me, worth their salt, should be doing that. You know, with your skill guys and your quarterback.
Yeah.
You just, the scary thing, I think, is with quarterbacks, and the Niners have seen one, is like, you pigeonhole them in an offense, and I think we're going to see this with Lamar. Can they, like, grow? You don't even have to become, I think, can he become Peyton Manning? Like, no, can you just become, like, a hybrid version of, instead of being Lamar right now, which feels very, very run-heavy, even though he's had years, I think, a couple years ago when he won the MVP, he threw 30-something touchdowns. But it does feel like without the run game humming and him running it, they're not as potent as an offense. But can you get to a point where it's 3rd-and-8 and you're like, God, Lamar could beat you? Because if you can, then he's unstoppable, right? And if you can do that with Trey Lance and Justin Fields, get them to a point where in years they can pick you apart and run, they become an unstoppable. I mean, Cam Newton won the MVP and he was never even accurate. So if you can balance it both and just find like a better sweet spot than what Cam had, because this goes back to the Tannehill thing. Like if you told Kyle you get Trey Lance as Cam, as crazy as it sounds, a guy that's made 4 or 5 Pro Bowls and MVP, that's not what you're looking for. Even though like in worst case you would take that. To be safe.
No, you want probably. The guy to be on your team for another 12. You want the guy to be on your team, your quarterback, for 15 years. You want to sign him to a 10-year contract and feel good about it.
Well, part of the problem probably if you think about with Cam, right, did his body kind of give out on him just the way he played for a decade? Like it's hard to maintain that play.
Yeah, that style of play. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Kaepernick started having injuries. I mean, people forget that. Remember, he just had injuries popping up. Thumbs and feet, and it was like knee. You just run a lot. I mean, as an avid runner myself, you know, MCL.
You know, the other thing we got, so we're talking about this game, John. It is Raiders 49ers on Sunday.
Sorry. Keep going.
It's Raiders 49ers on Sunday.
Can't wait.
It's a preseason game, but really? Can't wait?
Guy, I'm a sucker for this game on television. Like a little bit like A's Giants with baseball. Yeah. It does just look cool. I don't need, like, I'm not looking for incredible, like, plays or. It's not even about, it's just the two guys on the field together. Like, I'm excited. It's an exciting game. The fans should be. If you live in the Bay Area and you're a Raider fan, like, wouldn't you go? You'd never get a chance to see the team.
I mean, it's a preseason game, but yeah, you probably would go see your team. I think one thing that makes the Niners-Raiders, I don't know if I want to call it a rivalry because they've only played 14 times. The rivalry is more the fan bases because they exist in the same area. Like I was thinking about one thing that really hurts the A's is that in terms of their division, just in terms of attention, right? One thing that helps the Giants and it hurts the A's. The Giants, if you're a Giants fan and you live in the Bay Area, you probably work with a Dodger fan. Like, there is just a rivalry, historic rivalry with a lot of passion built into your division. The A's, in all likelihood, you don't work with an Angels fan. You don't work with a Mariners fan. You don't work with an Astros fan, right? Who'd I miss? Rangers?
Mariners.
Angels, Mariners, Astros. You don't work with – it's just there's no natural rivalry that just has you engaged with somebody in a little trash talk. Like – if you're a Dodger or a Giant fan, you know one, you have a friend probably that's one or the other, and you guys just talk shit to each other all the time. The A's don't have that. The Raiders and Niners, ironically, never play. They're not in the same division, but they're constantly getting compared to each other by the fan bases, which is what has made that great. Even though, again, they hardly ever have played each other relative to like what happens in a baseball division.
Well, because it's set up, right, where they only going to play each other every 4 years. I do think this game matters. And I do think it's a way to kind of keep a connection. If I was the Raiders, I would want this game to continue. If I was the Niners, I don't know if I'd necessarily care. But just in terms of travel, because you will have to go back and forth, I would want to keep the Charger game. Who was their first preseason game? You remember?
Which team?
Oh, the Chiefs. But the Chiefs came here. Like, I mean, that's about as far as I would not want to travel far. You obviously can't play Seattle. You can't play the Rams. So you can't play the Cardinals. So it's basically just I would want to do the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Broncos. Like I'd want to keep it as close as possible. From a Raider standpoint, there is a brand, like you have fans here, like you'd want to come. I actually think we've talked about this when we've been at practice. I think the joint practices between these two teams makes a lot of sense. Like Kyle works for John Gruden. They literally are right here. You would just, you're doing joint practices anyway. Right? You just, it's an easy one.
Yeah. And also, if you're the Raiders, you'd want it. Forget about, you're right about the joint practices. To go back to your point about the stadiums, the Niners, you want it because you're going to sell more tickets for that game just because you might have some Raider fans that want to come who are in the area than you would for whatever other random preseason game. And if you're the Raiders, you know there aren't that many fan bases that close to you that could make the trip like Niner fans could come to Vegas. So it probably does help just your preseason, I guess maybe those tickets are accounted for, but in terms of just everything else that happens, it's good for the tourism bureau in Vegas, and it's good just for selling beers at Levi's.
And there is something like if you're from Northern California, it's just cool to watch the two teams.
Yeah,
on
I mean
same
that's
field.
The heart.
There's
of
just
it.
There's an element of think about a couple years ago. It might have been Gruden's first year when Nick Mullins lit him up. and Favre called him after. But just that game, it meant nothing. Both the teams were terrible. The Niners ended up drafting two, and the Raiders ended up drafting four. I remember that game being pretty fun. Like, the game was fun. Now, it's a lot different in a regular season game than a preseason game, but it's crazy to think Nick Mullins, you know, had some moments. But I'm not kidding. I have been literally zero excited for basically 99% of all the preseason action I've watched, including even starters. Like Jameis, I guess it was kind of cool watching him throw a deep bomb. But this is, I am excited for the first half, you know. And who knows? I mean, based on what Gruden has done, he might not play any. You know, Kyle will at least play some starters. Gruden might. Like Derek Carr, I'm not expecting to see Derek Carr. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to
weigh a little bit from it.
I'm not going to advocate for a lack of logic, but I think what's great about rivalries is that it's not math. It's not logical always. It's just, I want your team to fail and I want my team to succeed. And it doesn't matter if it's a preseason game. There's just a passion that comes with it. You know, because it's a rivalry. And again, I think it's more about the fans than the two teams hating each other.
Yeah. Well, it's not because it's not a true rivalry, right? Because they do never play. I mean, you play every once in every
like Jets
years.
And Giants aren't a rivalry, and yet their fans are always talking trash to each other.
But to me, they've played every preseason our entire lives. They share a stadium. It is a little, you'd have to agree, it's a little more unique when you share a stadium. If the Niners and Raiders shared a stadium, which one day, I mean, once upon a time, people wanted them to do, and who knows, it would have been cool for us, too. Listen, two football teams better than one. In theory, we've experienced some bad two football team years. It was really bad, actually. But you do feel like you're both a part of that place. I wonder if sharing the stadium is a... Because you see it with the Clippers
and
the
Lakers. Both are
granted,
New York.
They play each other.
It'd be like if both teams were San Francisco or both teams were Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, it's our city, right? It's always like, it's our city. If you're the owner, I guess, you want to own
the city. You guys only got two of the five boroughs. We got three. Yeah,
exactly.
And the suburbs and Jersey.
Did you see, by the way, since Axelrod fired Chili Davis as the Mets hitting coach, all their numbers are down. Actually, they're slightly the same, but down.
Chili Davis got fired?
So, a while back, I guess, as the hitting coach. They were like 11-12, or they were 12-11 when they fired him, and now they're like 51-50. It's like everything's the same exactly. But apparently all the players hated it when they fired Chili Davis, who is beloved.
Yeah, I mean, well, just maybe you don't have great hitters, right? Beside Pete Alonso, who feels like every time I watch the Mets, it's a home run. Guy hits bombs.
John, before we go on, let's tell the people about DraftKings, where Middlecoff finished in the money. I would say this weekend, but it was Monday. Finished in the money. Almost won. What'd you finish? Third place? Promo code Ham?
Fourth. You know, that's...
Fourth.
It was one of those. I was at one. I was in first place for a split second on Monday. And then you check the other guy's squads. Well, we all had Cam Smith, and a couple other guys had, like, Finau. I'm like, I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get caught by, like, DK Metcalf. And I got caught and lapped.
Still.
It happens.
Football is almost here. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Leon Ohio, is giving you a shot to turn big plays into even bigger prizes, including the new Instant Win Challenge from DK. DraftKings Wild Cards. Download the DraftKings app now to claim your first wild card for free. There's up to $50 million and $50 million worth of prizes up for grabs with 1 in 4 winning instantly.
Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code HAM. Like I said, shot at $1 million. Enter the code HAM when you download the app. Free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code HAM only at DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
John, podcast also brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Back with, the first time I read the script, I thought it said public service announcement, but it doesn't. It says pubic service announcement. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0, which is now available for purchase in the USA and Canada.
Yep. Well, think about this. People like Haberman, they got hair on their back, you know, on their butt, all over the place. Not
nose.
Some of us don't. Nose. Have you ever yanked nose hairs out of your nose?
I have, and I hear it's very dangerous.
It's not only dangerous, it is, you cry. Well, you don't need that because part of the lawnmower 4.0, the package that they sent us, you get a... Could you give us an example on YouTube? Could you put it up your nose?
You can go no. Oh, you can go ear.
Look at that. Look at, oh, boom. Got it.
Did you hear that?
Hayman, Hayman's got some
sounded like a lawnmower hit a few rocks.
Woo! Manscaped.com, promo code HAM. Get yourself a lawnmower 4.0. We have the 2.0, 3.0, and now the 4.0. The nose hair trimmer. That'll, you know, you don't want those hairs sticking out of your nose when you're on a date, when you're, you know, in a business meeting. It's a bad look. 20% off, free shipping, promo code HAM, manscaped.com.
The advanced ceramic blade, the skin-safe technology, Manscaped. Go get the Lawnmower 4.0. 20% off, free shipping, like John said. 20% off and free shipping. And the Lawnmower 4.0 has a new wireless charging system as well, John.
Wow.
20% off, free shipping, code HAM, manscaped.com.
Go do it.
All right. Oh, by the way, you and I were talking. You said to me Sunday night, you're like, does Shanahan look just kind of miserable on the sideline? And I said, yes. And then watching Urban Meyer on Monday Night Football on the Jag sideline, he makes Shanahan look like a kid at a birthday party. And he is miserable, John.
Do you think they're... You worked in radio for a long time. Now you're a podcaster. Do you think there are a lot of similarities in the two businesses?
Yeah, I actually do.
Yeah, there. I mean, it's not a crazy hard transition, right? There are just things that are the same, right? Doing topics, getting people interested, interacting with your audience. I mean, there are some basic premises of the business. I've said all along, man. Now, I never worked at Ohio State or Florida, but when I went from Fresno State to the NFL, it was like a completely different world. They really, the businesses, beside running plays, like running a counter play or a go route, like, yeah, that's the same thing as, like, you would have saw, I guess you wouldn't have seen it, like, back calling a Clovis East game, like, 2006, because they ran the triple option. But, you know, some the high school teams that run spread offenses, like, they can do the same thing as an NFL team. But the business is completely different. And also, when you get an NFL job, for the most part, you're taking over a shitty team, right? Like, even what Jim Harbaugh took over, a 6-10 Niner team, it was kind of unique because they had all these Pro Bowlers on the roster, and then he hit this incredible draft, and he resurrected Alex Smith. Like, that is an anomaly. You look back at Pete Carroll's first couple years. They were awful in Seattle. Urban Meyer's lost, like, 5 games in the last, like, decade. His team looks terrible. Like, just, what would you guess? 5-12? Feel about right?
For their... Do you think they win 5 games this year?
Well, I don't know. That actually felt kind of high when I said 5. Like 3-14? That's a lot of losses.
Feels more like 3 to me.
Okay, 3-14. That is a long season, man.
What's their...
That is a horrendous... I think it's like 7. Maybe it's 6.5.
Yeah, right here I got 6.
Yeah, so maybe you get the extra bump with the extra game. I don't know. I felt looking at his face like he wants to quit. But back to what I was saying, like, hiring someone, like, Jim Harbaugh played in the NFL for 15 years. Pete Carroll, we talk about him like he was a college coach. You know that he's been a head coach 3x the NFL teams relative to USC. He'd been a head coach for 2 different NFL teams before he became the USC head coach. And then it's like, oh, college coach Pete Carroll. Well, kind of. I bet Pete Carroll always like, I'm a fucking NFL coach. I just dominated at USC. Right? He had been a coordinator in the pros for a long time. He was a pro guy. Matt Rhule is so, like, he had the 1 year with the Giants, but even that, like, at least he spent 1 year in an NFL building. I think Chip Kelly and Urban Meyer have a lot of parallels. 0 years in the NFL. Absolutely 0. Like, not one. It's one thing to be friends with Belichick. It's another thing to, like, coach against him. Did you see the stat that Phil Yates tweeted? Sirianni next to Belichick, and it says Sirianni, 40 years old, Belichick, 47th year in the NFL. 47th year in the NFL. That means there is literally not probably a coach, but definitely a player who Belichick, and I've said this all, forever, strengths, weaknesses, off the top of his head immediately. A guy in a 2-deep in the league. From what college he went to, how good he was in college, and what his strengths and weaknesses are in the NFL. Just think about that ability that, like, Urban Meyer. Like, how is Urban going to know, like, if he was just playing Trey Lance? What the fuck would he know about Trey Lance? Let alone, like, Kadarius Street and Brandon Ayuk, right? He would just, you just don't even know.
Or what about when you just have to, a couple guys get hurt and you got to add somebody to your team? Even if you have a GM that's in charge of that, he adds a guy to your team. If you've been around the league for a few years, let alone 47, you know what you're getting in that player. Because maybe that player's been in the league for 5 years, right? So even if Trent Baalke is the guy who grabs the guy off the wire and puts him on the squad, and you roll out to practice Monday, Urban's never seen the guy, but fine. Trent's job is to find that guy. Tuesday, you roll out to practice, got Monday off because they won a game. He has no – what's his point of reference for that player? Never seen him before.
Do you think any player at Ohio State or Florida ever came on without Urban having a deep understanding of the human?
No.
At practice. Randy Mueller told me one time.
I bet even their walk-ons were like, he knew the dad.
100. Randy Mueller told me one time, who was Saban's GM for the Miami Dolphins. He said, an underrated thing that Nick could never shake is like, Nick, we need this guy here for afternoon practice. I'll just pick the best practice squad guy. You don't worry about this. You stay in the game plan. And Nick wanted to watch the top 10 short list of them all and watch them all. He's like, you don't have time to do that. I stumbled upon this press conference the other day. I actually sought it out because it was Dan Campbell. I enjoy Dan Campbell press conferences. He's actually much smarter than I think people think. I swear. Just if you're bored, he's like whoever their GM is. You know, the Rams guy that they hired. He's like, I told him early on in training camp. I'm like, listen, I forget the guy's name, but he's like, Chris. If we need a guy, I trust you. If, like, I'm not around, I'm in a team meeting or whatever, like,
Brad
you need
Holmes.
To, if a guy, Brad Holmes, he's like, I told Brad, I trust you, bro. Like, you've been in the league for a long time. You know what you're doing. If we need a practice squad guy and I don't have the ability to sign off or give you the thumbs up, just do it. And it was just very kind of like, yeah, I bet Sean Payton told him things he learned, right, from Sean Payton to, like, you know, sometimes Mickey's got to bring in a guy for practice squad guy. I don't have time. And I just don't see how Urban. And think about the factor, too, of Trent Baalke, guy. Like, it's not like Trent is Mr. Cuddly and easy to work with, historically.
I wonder, too, if they... We don't know if Matt Rhule has succeeded or not yet. Time will tell. But if being the coach at Florida and Ohio State, that's even very different than being at Baylor, where you don't get the first pick of all the players, right? In some ways, that's more NFL. If you're coaching at a school that's not Ohio State, Florida, USC, Texas, where you just get the first, you can get any player you want. Like, one thing I was thinking watching Urban last night, if this was college and Urban had just inherited a terrible team, I know what his roster would look like next year. Freaking stacked. You'd be like, whoa, changed everything real fast. You're handcuffed. Like, you are, unless you can coach your way out of it or you've got the players on the roster that can do it for you, right? It turned out Jim Harbaugh's team, a lot of good players on that team when he took over the 49ers, right?
Well, guy, and he had Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator. And
if
say what
Urban
you want
Meyer
about Greg Roman, Greg Roman's
49ers,
pretty good.
He'd have a shot. But he didn't take over those 49ers. Because most people don't take over those 49ers. Most people
agree,
take over...
Though, his shot would probably be... Like, Jim was probably even more suited, though, because of the coming from Stanford, yeah. NFL guy. I do think Urban... he's an all-time great college coach. In a weird way, might be completely over his head in this.
Jim also, because, the timing. Like, if Jim came into the NFL today, it might be a little harder, right? The style of offense that Jim wants to run, like, worked right in that moment in time. He's been trying to figure his offense out.
And the team was equipped to do it.
Yeah, an offense that should work at Michigan, except he is now the coach at Michigan at a time when you got to open it up and let it fly, and that's very different.
Well, I know. You can see it on Urban's face. Like, there's guys that are like, this is going to be tough. And there is like, did I make the wrong decision? Like, do you see that in his eyes?
I saw him thinking, yeah, what I saw was, how do I get out of this? And I don't mean get out of this job. I mean, how do we fix this? Like, before I can't take this anymore. Because I might run out of patience before this thing can get fixed. Because this idea, like, Trevor Lawrence is going to take over and just carry the team, like, it's not, that ain't happening.
Well,
and Travis Etienne's out for the year. That's the other thing.
Well, I also think it shows you, kind of puts into light how special Luck was for how much shit he got. You know, like, is he really that good? He is so much fucking better than every rookie quarterback who's come into this league for decades. What are we talking about? He took over a joke team and took them to the playoffs. They won two games. Two. They picked him number one. And then it turns out the coach and the GM were kind of clowns. And he carried the franchise for like three straight years. Think about that. Like, I think sometimes that gets lost because it's so easy. Trevor Lawrence, next luck. No, he's not. And honestly, he could be really good one day. It's going to take some time, though.
Yeah.
You got DJ Chark on the sideline because he's injured.
You got Minshew, like, still trying to win the job.
Well, because Urban keeps telling him that.
Well, I know.
I always think it's just crazy luck. It's a weird deal. We talked a little bit about this before we got on. Travis Etienne basically started the moment he got to Clemson. And when he showed up 3 years ago at Clemson, right, they are in the peak of their powers. Like, they're just humming. They've already won a natty. They're just recruiting, like, Alabama or Ohio State. Plays immediately. Dominates for three straight years. I think last year he got banged up or a little bit, but he's never been like serious injury out for. He comes by the second preseason game, his foot is shattered, Liz Frank out for the year. Like, how's that happen? That's just, to me, crazy. Is it just wear and tear? Is like a tire was gonna pop? Like, if he could have gone back for a senior year, maybe it happens. I don't know.
He was a 4-year player.
Oh, he was? Oh, yeah, he did go back for senior year, huh? So maybe he's got some extra tread on the tire.
Almost 5,000 yards rushing in college and almost 1,200 yards receiving.
He dominated.
So that's 788 touches in college.
But to me, does it speak to Urban? Which makes sense, right? If you're at Ohio State, you bring in a Travis Etienne every year. And when you bring in a Travis Etienne, a 5-star guy from fucking Ohio or Florida or whatever, that guy doesn't get to start right away. Like, it might take a year or two for Zeke to start, right? He's behind Carlos Hyde or whatever. So, for example, he takes Etienne in the first round. Then he has him playing third string running back. Like, to me, I red flagged that immediately. Like, Urban, this isn't the college. Like, this guy is a blue chipper. You draft him first round. He should be mixing in with the one.
The guy in front of him is not a 4-star guy from 2 years ago who's now getting his chance.
No, the guy in front of him is Carlos Hyde, a guy that's bounced around the league who just happened to play for you. Now, the starter, good player, James Robinson, but you should be mixing those two guys in and just be like, we're going to have an elite, those two guys going to play together. And now they basically just, I mean, it's not their fault that he got injured, but it does like kind of ruin one of the Ramsey picks. Right, you trade Jalen Ramsey, and then all of a sudden you have nothing to show for a year.
Solomon Jets 718 on YouTube. The painful part about seeing Urban Meyer's struggle face last night was that the players behind him were laughing and joking around on TV. I see this comment is why that camera that everybody's in love with that like only puts one person in focus and the rest of it is blurry in the background and everyone's like, oh, it's the 8K camera. It looks like a video game. That's why that camera is overused. Because if you're using that camera, you don't see all the good shit that happens in the background on TV. Just my two cents. I think people are too in love with that camera. It looks sweet, but you miss out on funny stuff happening in the background.
I'm with you. I agree. I'm in agreement there.
Anyway, what's their first? Do you have the Jags schedule in front of you, by the way? Give me like their first 4 weeks.
I have the Jets up. Let's go, Jags. I bet it's not pretty. It is at Texans, so he could be 1-0. You lose the Texans, that'd be hard to shake, right? Is that a must win?
Remember they beat the Colts week one last year?
The Jags. Broncos. So you got at Texans, Broncos at home.
Kind
opener.
Of a must win for the Broncos.
Cardinals. Sneaky hard game for the Cardinals. 10 a.m. kickoff. Jacksonville hot. At Bengals. So it's not the... It's doable.
I mean, they did win one game last year. Their schedule should be kind of easy. One game or so two? One game.
I thought they lost 15 straight games.
Yeah.
No. Started 1-0. Had to be a pretty good feeling.
For the Colts, it turned out to be good. Just goes to show when we talk about like, oh, you can't play Trey Lance week one. You just got to beat the Lions. Like, you reminded me this the other day. We say it every year. Week one can just be freaking weird in the NFL. So,
well, think about this. they ended up, I think, them and the Titans both had 11 wins. Because of the tiebreaker, the Colts lost and the Titans won the division. The Titans got to host the Ravens. Now they ended up losing. The Colts had to go to the Bills because of the new playoff schedule. So that game, I mean, you just beat the Jags week one, you win 12 games, and all of a sudden you are hosting a playoff game, which I would say in Indy, pretty big advantage given that they are not like a normal place, right? It's a dome. They're used to playing. It's an advantage to them.
How many rookies are going to be starting week one? Quarterback, round one rookie quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, there's two. Mac Jones could be starting. Feels like the least likely guy to start is actually Fields, not Lance at this point in time.
Well, Fields is not starting. I mean, they've basically really confirmed that, which I don't agree with, but he's been dead set on it. Like Andy Dalton, the reason Fields is starting this week is because Andy Dalton, he's like a pitcher.
Do they think like you
pitcher home?
When you send the pitcher home, what do you mean? Like before
his
start?
You know, like, before
like Matt Cain is back in San Francisco getting ready for game four.
That's what it feels like with Andy Dalton.
I wonder if they think, like, we're going to have a hard time with free agents if everyone knows we promised Andy he's the starter and then we don't even give him one game to be the starter.
Why would you even be worried about that?
I don't know.
Fucking Andy Dalton.
I'm just trying to figure out why they're thinking the way they're thinking.
I know, because they think he knows the offense so well. He can articulate it in the huddle. He can get him in the right looks.
Not unimportant things.
Yeah, but it's stuff no fan cares about. Oh. It's just that simple. So it's just the stuff that their coaching staff cares about is something that's not actually tangible that you'll see when he's struggling.
Yeah, but here's part of their issue is that they as a staff think we have to win to keep all of our jobs. And the Bears fans thought that until they got Fields, and now all they care about is watching Justin Fields play, whatever that means.
But if I told you this, you start Justin Fields and your job's on the line, but then Fields plays well and gives you hope, even if you go 8-9, but it was like, oh, we got something here.
Yeah.
Doesn't that save you? Like, you guys
maybe
found this
guy. Did that
guy
work for
you
Anthony
guys
Lynn?
Believed in this guy? Yeah, but he's had more success than Anthony Lynn. He's over 500. They haven't been a joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
I don't know. I mean, he'd know better than me.
But it might be as simple as, like, they're like, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are like, we're in this together, brother. Yeah, brother. And then the McCaskies are like, Ryan, what do you think we should do? And he's like, well, you know, as the person who clearly is remaining, I'm still the GM. Oh, okay, I think we should hire another coach. And then you extend yourself. If you're Ryan Pace, right, if I was just thinking selfishly from a GM standpoint, if you hire a new coach, you potentially extend your window, like at minimum another 2 or 3 years.
Well, did you see Brady's quote to Peter King about how the NFL is basically one big blame game? GMs always blaming coaches, coaches are blaming players, players are blaming coaches. Like, everyone's just pointing the finger. And he's like, I've been kind of lucky. That's not really, obviously, in New England, that doesn't exist. And he's like, in Tampa, now granted, he's been there 1 year and they won the Super Bowl. But I just think he sees all of his friends all over the league, and that's all it becomes. Is just everyone's pointing at each other. And maybe sports in general are like that. I think football is probably more under a microscope, given, like, you only play once a week, and when you have a bad season, it just feels. Guys get fired, you know, 6-7 coaches get fired a year. College coaches get fired all the time. The blaming just happens so fast.
Yeah.
And the faster you can both be in cahoots with, like, hey, look at what we have together, it might save you so you don't have to flip, like, oh, he wanted Dalton, I didn't want Dalton. Because that is something that just happens at rates in the NFL. Like, the Cardinals are a team that, who's going to blame who there? Like, how's Steve Keim going to, he'll go, well, he wanted Kyler Murray. If that doesn't work, and well, you hired Cliff. Like, what were we supposed to do? Like, they don't really have anyone to blame anymore.
Right, and we're here because we drafted Josh Rosen. It didn't work.
Yeah, so it's like, maybe we just need to. I had a buddy who thought we were making fun of, like, the Chiefs and the Cardinal game. He's like, yeah, I bet that place is open by November.
The Cardinals.
Like, they could do, you remember last year when Arthur Blank fired Quinn and Dimitroff? Where you just kind of, if they're, let's say they are, you know, like a 5-8 team, and it's like, they're not going to make the playoffs. Kyler hasn't gotten better. Maybe you just fire them both and you just hit the reset button.
You know what's interesting about that is, will the coaches that are in demand view Kyler Murray as an asset for that job or not?
Well, you don't have to pick up his fifth-year option. You get to just ride it out for a year. He is talented enough to just ride it out for a year, see what you got, and then kind of go from there. I do
think... So that's not an asset.
Well, if
what's attractive about it is that you're not committed to him.
I think the attractive part about that job is I remember last year when Atlanta got open, and I remember texting an agent. I was like, God, who the fuck would want to go there? He's like, every coach. Atlanta's cheap area. It's a great place to raise a family. The owner has a bunch of money, and he's loyal. So I think you'd look at Arizona, you go, well, I can live in Scottsdale or Phoenix. The owner has been very, very loyal to Steve Keim, right? He is, and he seems like actually a pretty nice, normal guy with a bunch of cash now. And he, a little, I think, in like the Jed, Mark category, like, if he hires you, like, you get to do you, you know?
Yeah, you might be the guy bringing your GM.
That is not a place, I think, consistently in every team. Like, some teams, like, you know, the owner, probably a little more, like the Carolina Panthers. I bet that guy's sitting in a lot of personnel meetings, don't you?
The Mets. The division's very tough, but I don't know how much, it doesn't feel like coaches usually are too worried about that.
No.
Because
why would anyone ever take a job in the SEC, right? And they all do.
They pay you way more money, though. Relative to what other people make.
Okay, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, it's not a bad point. So in terms of rookies, could Mac Jones start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1? Yes, he could. Here's the page. If Mac Jones ends up the starter, here's the Patriots schedule. Dolphins at home, at the Jets, New Orleans at home, the Bucks at home, at the Texans, Cowboys at home, Jets at home.
He's going to win some games.
You think he's the week one starter for the Patriots?
I do. No. You said 16-1, Belichick?
16-1.
I think that's a pretty good bet.
I do too.
Because I think that's...
Especially if he's doing it with Mac Jones.
If they went 10-7 with Mac Jones, wouldn't he get a lot of credit?
He would be the coach of the year in the NFL. He would have the quarterback that went last of the five in the draft.
Well, what if like a McVay or Shanahan won like 14 games?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but I just think you're kind of looking for a reason for... Everyone knows Bill's the best. But he's only won the thing twice.
I'll give you a sleeper. Coach of the year would be...
Sirianni?
Would be the dude in Carolina. What if they went 10-7?
Yeah, Rule.
They've been really shitty. He resurrects Sam Darnold. Like, they just look really solid. They got a bunch of offensive pieces. You probably get him like 20-1. Sirianni, he probably has incredible odds. Their division just might be terrible. And what if the Eagles just have some talent? Again, they are much higher on Jalen Hurts than I think a lot of people are. Like, we should see him in practice. I think he's pretty good.
We should do a bit where we go through every team and say what would be coach of the year candidacy for that coach.
Let's do it. Next pod.
Freak Stomper 49 on YouTube says, I'm late. Tried to time it for when the Tito ad was over. Right on time. An hour in. That's really funny. Uh-huh. That's good. Who else do we have? Yeah, Zach Wilson starting, obviously. Mac. Okay, that was everybody. Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence.
Cousins at any moment could get corona or contact traced, and Kellen Mond could start quick.
You don't think they just trade for Gardner Minshew?
I feel like Gardner Minshew is beloved in like the Twitter community, and most of the NFL think he's the average at best.
And until you look at his numbers, like that came in real NFL games. Have you looked at his numbers from real NFL games?
I remember sitting on the couch. They were playing the Broncos, and he did this like 360 in the pocket. He ran away. He dove. He jumped. It was like, that was an incredible
look,
play.
Look, man, but I am with you.
The NFL does not view him that way,
I know,
I promise.
I know. I am with you, but when they showed his numbers on the screen last night, I was like, say what you want about the guy. Even if you think numbers lie, which sometimes they can, but most guys who roll out and play quarterback in the NFL, the majority of them, right, like the guys that are not in the top 20, don't ever have numbers that are 37 touchdowns, 11 picks, and 63%.
How many games total?
20 games. 23 games, 20 starts, 7-13. Not good, but, you know, bad organization could be bad.
Yeah. There might be some value.
How many guys have ever had 37 touchdowns and at that same time had only 11 interceptions?
Could Kyle Shanahan win as many games with Gardner Minshew as he could with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Maybe.
Could the Niners cut Jimmy Garoppolo and just trade for Gardner Minshew?
What are you going to trade for him? Because he is kind of a valuable backup. Like, if I'm the Jags, I'm not in a rush to trade him for nothing.
Yeah. I bet Urban kind of likes him, right? Clearly.
Yeah, didn't he get a quote about him the other day? Something like he's a, what do you call him? Not like tough, a blue collar.
$2
yeah,
steak or something?
Yeah, like a bulldog. Or, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, he's like, he's like one of those, fine pieces of jeans. You know, you just can't rip them.
yeah, exactly. It was something, something similar to that. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Hey, speaking of being in bed last night at 7 o'clock, I know why you were, John. You were in bed because of your sleepnumber.com/ham. Sleep IQ technology. But the only stat you want to see in the third quarter of a preseason game isn't Gardner Minshew's touchdown interception. You want to see your Sleep IQ numbers.
I go right to sleepnumber.com/ham, and I get myself a fantastic night's sleep. Sleep like a baby. Do you know what happens when you get a good night's sleep, guy?
Tell me.
You wake up, you can think better, you're more productive, you have, I notice this, it just carries in, I have better relationships with people in my life just because I'm happier. When I don't sleep well, I get edgy, like most people. And you got to find out the perfect temperature. You know, most people like it a little chilly in their room. You like it nice and cold. Dim the lights. Don't look at the phone before you go to bed.
Light a candle.
You guys have candles in the bedroom?
There is a candle. We got candles all over the place. You cook, it starts smelling, and we start lighting candles. Yeah, that's the purpose of them.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody cooks. You cook.
Yeah, it works. But sleepnumber.com/ham. Keep your room about 65, 67 degrees.
Yeah, check out a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com/ham to check out the latest deals and the best way to get a great night's sleep. Sleepnumber.com/ham.
Do it!
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
You know, I've heard this going on back and forth. Just some different podcasts have brought it up. I don't think we ever talked about it. And I've tried to come up with a take because I don't have necessarily a strong side on either one. But do you think, like, when you leave a job and you're super successful and making a bunch of money, you don't really care. Like, you're not going to be as guarded what you said. So, like, Kevin Durant, I don't hold him to the same level. Like, he's moved on. He's gone. But Draymond Green, who basically just took a massive shit on Steve Kerr. Now, they have a documented relationship where they go back and forth. But Bob Myers, I would say, has been the one guy, more than Lakeham, definitely more than Kerr, who just like has these guys back 24-7. And I think Draymond's scheduled to make $75 million more dollars. So in total, it'll be like $180 from the Warriors. Do you think that was a little unfair for him just to go and...
First of all, I agree with the premise that like Kevin Durant owes nobody nothing, right? Steve Kerr has talked about Kevin Durant 77 different times in different interviews. And even if he hadn't, Kevin, he's gone. But the first thing I said to you when this thing happened was like, if I'm Joe Lacob, I'm like, dude, I'm paying you $25 million a year. Like part of this is like, you know, protect the family a little bit here. You don't get to be investigative reporter, Draymond Green. When I'm paying you, like, your number one source of income, I could be wrong about this, is probably still his basketball salary, even though he's making a lot of money doing whatever else he's doing. But for him, I bet Joe's paying him more than Bleacher Report is.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, A, protect that. Now, I do wonder, you know, for all the times Bob's had his back, you and I know this, something can happen internally and you can just not, somebody crosses a line in your mind that you think is a line they crossed and there's no, you view them differently no matter what else they've done for you in the past. Although our situation wasn't really quite like that, but you know what I'm saying. So maybe that's how he thinks internally, but I also think he's just committed to, maybe he feels like, you know, Bob and I have this relationship. People just talk openly about everything. Bob gets to go out and say like, we got to get Draymond's emotions in check. And I can come out and say, Bob didn't handle that situation right. And, you know, it's this. We're all good. Bob talks about me publicly all the time. Sometimes it's about things I need to do better. But, you know, part of this is the history since that moment in time. How is their relationship internally? If their relationship is good and they've had that, if he has said those
he signed a contract extension with the team since.
Yeah, but that's not because he loves them necessarily. It could just be they know they need him and they gave him the most money. But if he and Bob Myers have had this conversation where he said to Bob, you fucked up, man. Like, you screwed this up. Then maybe it's not quite as bad. I think we view it a certain way because it's like, oh man, he's talking about him criticizing him behind his back, right? But if they've had it out and that thing public. Is settled for them.
And based on what the conversation
has, he said that to Bob would be my question.
I would imagine so.
I'd
imagine they talked about it. And I don't disagree like what the conversation was predicated off the suspension. I remember when they did it, I thought it was insane. I'm like, you're suspending a player who has gone to war for you and you've needed and it's been kind of the heart and soul of your team. Because of something he said to another guy, calling him a bitch, because that guy won't stay on your own team. Like, basing off, like, I understand just the interaction in a vacuum. Like, we can't be screaming at teammates, and clearly it fucked with Kevin. But the reason behind the interaction was because he was standing up for the Warriors and the Warriors brand. Like, right. You don't want to be here.
You can't
That's
say,
where
hey,
I do support Draymond. Like, he was right.
Well, like, hey, man, the edict from you can't be treat the one guy with kid gloves when Steph doesn't need it.
I know.
Right?
It's
now, here's my other thing, though. Like, when Draymond told the story, I'm kind of laughing, watching, like, wait a second, Draymond, they're saying you got to apologize. He's like, no, I'll go talk to him, but I will not apologize. Like, how could they just not settle on a, yeah, okay. That's the part that blows my mind, is they couldn't reach a, okay, Draymond, you don't have to literally say the words, I'm sorry, but we need you to go have a conversation with him. Because Draymond's I will not talk to him and say I'm sorry, but I will go talk to him because only he and I can squash this.
It's like, but it also gets back to, it is their truth, right? That's Kevin and Draymond's truth. Like, I bet some other people who were just sitting around, like, everyone's truth might be a little bit different. Like, that they get to give their side of the story. Like, Kerr and Bob, they never get to give their side of the story, right? Because when Steve Kerr is asked about it when they come back to training camp, he can't be like, well, fucking Draymond. Like, he'll just be like, you know, I'm not talking about that. Bob's not going to talk. They're not going to talk about it. So basically, they just got to have the last laugh on this situation, call those guys idiots, and that's how it ends. So it's where you are lucky now, I guess, now if a player, you have a lot of access to do your own things and get your own truths out there. Because ultimately, it's like, Kevin, he was saying that to you. The elephant in the room was like, you wanted to leave. Like, they were all mad at you. Like, what? There were elements of the conversation, the different variables.
I know.
Where they just hit on the one part.
The part, you know? I don't understand is, like, if you guys agree you guys could have fixed it then what? Why didn't you fix it then? Because they suspended. Why did suspending Draymond mean Kevin and Draymond couldn't fix the issue between them if it could have been fixed between them? Because I think
Kevin,
you're right,
was already leaving.
Yeah, you can't go back. I don't think it could have been fixed.
No.
Brandon on YouTube says, you guys certainly aren't acknowledging how wrong you were for overreacting to Zach Wilson's bad practice stats. He's looked fantastic. I don't know if Brandon, I think it's a different Brandon's a different person that's been tweeting at me about that. I said on Twitter to that person today, I don't have their name, but maybe it wasn't Brandon. I've talked about in the last 2 weeks that I've said, I watched Zach Wilson. I've made a point to watch Zach Wilson back-to-back weeks. And I said, I think he looks really good. And it might be that he's a gamer, quote unquote gamer, more so than a practice player. So I'm open to the guy being good, but it's still
I'm not pivoting yet.
No, it's smart. I mean, once you're in, you know, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not anti Zach Wilson. I thoroughly enjoyed watching him at BYU.
His team's not good.
Yeah, it could be tough. It could be.
But that doesn't
really
mean he
tough.
Can't make plays that makes you go, okay, there's something here.
Well, he's talented. Like, no one's acting like he shouldn't have been a top five pick. Like, it's not like he is Mac Jones without the talent. Like, he has athletic ability. He has a explosive arm. Let's just see what happens when the real games start. Because I think it's a lot different for a quarterback. You have blitzes. You have looks you don't know. Part of these practices, guy, like, he just looked good against the Packers, right? They just played the Packers in the preseason game on Saturday. He had been practicing against them for several days. Like, they had practiced against him. Think about that. And then what the offensive coordinator, like, Joe Barry, who's now the defensive coordinator for the Packers, is like LaFleur's guy, who LaFleur's brother is the offensive coordinator. Like, the connections here are all these guys are like, know each other. So it's like they're playing chess when they already kind of know their moves in a practice / a preseason game. I don't know if that would necessarily be the case in a regular season game. We'll see.
Can I talk about
I think it's going to be more difficult for Trevor and Zach once the real games start because their teams are so terrible.
Yeah. The key is, like, the question is, how well are they coached, and how strong are they mentally to be able to physically, can they hold up, play a whole year, then come back next year? Like, okay, that was a good experience.
Maybe, well, I think my I knock on wood for, because I don't root for this. No one does. Like, Joe Burrow's team was so terrible last year. Eventually, just got his leg snapped. Like, you are somewhat of a sitting duck back there, right? Like, it is the one area where you can be really physical. I know they throw flags and stuff, but the flag comes after you get slammed to the ground. You know, it's like wide receivers now, they do just avoid a lot of hits. There aren't that many. It feels very, you agree, way less and less of the big hits, just if you're just watching. Like, you do still see a lot of, like, when there is an open lane for a quarterback, they still get throttled. Now, the flag comes out, but they have to pick themselves up off the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So you just got to hope those guys don't get... Trevor's big. He took a hit when I was watching the game last night.
He did.
Took off on a run, and he fucking leaped. And it was like, I don't know if you can do that, my man.
He did take a... He's a big guy, but...
But there were like, it was like three of them. There was one guy low and like two guys flying in the air. Like, you're going to get killed.
Thoughts on this Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC alliance, John? I see they announced it on Thursday, Tuesday, the commissioners. There's not a formal contract. And so people are wondering, if you're not going to put anything in writing, then what is this exactly? And I think what's interesting about it is I think it's as much as it is a response to Oklahoma and Texas leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, I think it's also a response to, there was this thing that happened a few months ago where four members of college football put together a college football playoff proposal for a 12-team proposal, and everyone started running with it. And, what it turned out, the four people that put that proposal together, none of them were from the ACC, the Big Ten, or the Pac-12. It was Jack Swarbrick, who's the commissioner athletics director of Notre Dame, Craig Thompson, the Mountain West commissioner, Greg Sankey from the SEC, Bob Bowlsby from the Big 12. And I think it's partly a response to that, too. These guys want to make sure that it benefits us to not do anything behind each other. I'll tell you what I'm up to if you tell me what you're up to. Because we don't want to have happen to any one of us what happened to the Big 12, where Bob Bowlsby got blindsided. And we don't want to have happen to any of us what just happened a few months ago, where this college football playoff proposal came out. None of us had seen it because we weren't involved in it. And all of a sudden, publicly, there was this big push, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's get this 12-team playoff. Let's get it rolling by the end of the year. And they're like, this is all news to us. So there have been a couple of things where news has broken pretty quickly this offseason that has caught a few people off guard. That was a little less off guard, but I don't think the football playoff thing was supposed to leak the way it did. And certainly Texas-Oklahoma was not supposed to leak. This alliance, two things have to happen since there's nothing in a contract right now. Two things have to happen for the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12 to make this work. I think one is that all three of these commissioners have to remain the commissioners of these leagues and have really good working relationships, trust each other enough that they tell each other, hey, man, here's what we're up to. Maybe we could fold you into this, right? And they don't owe each other anything that they owe their own league, but that they have really good working relationships. Relationships get things done. And then the other thing that has to happen, I think, for this to work is that they keep in their individual leagues their most important clients happy. That Ohio State and Michigan, that Clemson, that USC, that those programs don't suddenly tell any of them, hey, we out. Right, that Ohio State, because if Ohio State goes, see you guys, we're going to the SEC, there's not a damn thing the commissioner of a league, let alone an alliance, can do about it. And so they have to keep everything straight in their own homes. That's part one. And they got to work together on stuff. And there's no obligation, contractual at this point for them to do that. So it's a relationship thing.
My question in the alliance, beside playing each other in non-conference games, what else is part of it?
Well, I think part of it is going to be some of this playoff stuff. It's let's all kind of agree, what do we think makes sense for everybody? Now, I think they'll end up
saying automatic bids and different things like that.
Yeah, let's just
the way you vote on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think, the ACC's TV contract is not up till 2036.
Jesus.
But the Big Ten's is coming up in a couple of years, and the Pac-12's is up in 2 or 3 years as well, one year after the Big Ten's. I think 2023 and 2024. So maybe they can, they can help each other out with just enhancing their own non-conference schedules.
I've said all along, why couldn't you do, I guess, because they don't all play the same amount of games. But if you have three non-conference games, why can't two of them be mandated in the alliance?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I'll only do it if you'll do it. Well, okay, I'll only do it if he does it. Okay, well, he'll only do it if you do it. You know this, any conversation about college football the last 20 years, back to the BCS era, at some point somebody says, you know what the sport needs? A commissioner. It's like, yeah, it's great in theory, but, the commissioner works for the leagues. Roger Goodell works for the teams. Roger Goodell doesn't tell the teams what to do. He doesn't tell Robert Kraft what to do. So it's great if, we all agree, if a commissioner says, you guys all need to play 8 conference games or 9 conference games or have all these good games, but if the SEC isn't going to do it, well, then if the SEC is not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Well, if they're not going to do it, so nobody agrees on anything. But if we agree, okay, we'll go from 9 conference games down to 8, but we'll add 2 really good non-conference games on top. So we add a good date. The reason nobody wants to go, the people who have 9, like the Big Ten and the Pac-12, don't want to go to 8, which is what the SEC does, which makes it easier for you to go unbeaten. Because when you do that, you devalue your TV contract because now you're putting worse games on TV when you go from 9 conference games to 8 because you're picking up Southern Utah, all due respect.
Yeah.
And it's a worse product for your fans who have season tickets.
Cal Poly. You know, we fall under that.
It's a worse product for your fans who have paid for season tickets. Like, you are. It's really hard right now to get people to come to games because their at-home experience is really good. So you don't want to make your in-stadium experience worse.
I think most of the fans can live with Cal Nevada, right? Fresno State, UCLA. Like, that works.
Yeah.
That has to be your worst game.
Yeah.
You know?
Your group of five.
It just does.
Yeah. No FCS.
The moment you jump down.
For FCS schools.
But it's just like, they just should play each other. Cal Poly, totally. UC Davis should play the shit out of each other.
That's part of what this is. It's like, okay, we'll go from 9 conference games to 8, but now instead of picking up an FCS game, it's going to be Oregon State's going to play Syracuse and Pitt.
Yeah. And Oregon plays Ohio State and, you know, North Carolina, which is cool, which would work.
Yeah.
It's not in writing.
No, so the scheduling part, I mean, ultimately you schedule those games. So maybe you do if you all schedule them together, then now it's in writing because you make contracts for all those games.
But he's right. Like, the commissioners can push their guys, but eventually the ADs have to do it, right? Some of the stuff is out of their control.
Yeah.
Who schedules games? Presidents, ADs?
The ADs schedule the games. But the presidents ultimately are the ones that make the big decisions.
So you're saying if the presidents tell their ADs that they have to schedule games with these conferences?
Yeah, I mean, that might be one. Sorry, I interrupted and said the presidents. I thought you were making a different point. Yeah, when it comes
because
to
games.
Because
that's the only thing that anyone, it's going to affect any, like, I want to see, and we already kind of do, but I would love to see a schedule where it's like all these teams are playing each other. It still feels like a little far away. Because I did see one of the quotes was, you know, obviously we're going to stick by all the existing schedules. And anyone that falls, if you have a college football team, you know sometimes you're 7-8 years out, right? Like, you know, Fresno State knows their non-conference in like 2027.
I think somebody has a 2036 game. It might be Utah and Florida.
Was that an old Urban Meyer thing?
Yeah, they scheduled it in 1998, 2002. No, that one was just scheduled 2033, maybe. Let's see. Wisconsin is scheduled for September 10th, 2033. They'll be at Utah. So, just for reference, the year is currently 2021.
2033? Is there any chance Whittingham's the coach in 2033?
No.
I mean, hell, we're not guaranteed to be alive. So, I mean, that's a long way away.
2033.
What happened?
So,
I hope I am.
They already got their Big Ten game for that year, John. You got to fold that one in.
Almost be 50.
2033.
That'd make me, like, cry right now.
Carson's back, John. Tony Finau finally won. I knew it was going to happen.
Have you ever seen a guy go from 2 to 5 weeks, or 5 to 12 weeks, and be back 14 days later? It's a medical miracle.
I mean, it's not like it was one of those, well, the strain wasn't as bad as we thought. He had surgery, right?
Yeah. Medical miracle.
You
know what? Was he owed a medical miracle after all the shittiness that's happened to him?
Yeah.
A lot of bad stuff. You know,
If he stays on the field, it's a medical miracle. You come back this quick from like a foot surgery, I get a little concerned.
You know, didn't Ray used to put a little deer antler spray on his injuries and just get better? Just go a little deer antler spray, and all of a sudden, you know, I remember Ray Lewis tore that labrum, and then like 3 weeks later, he's back tackling people, and people are like, Ray, how'd you do it? He's like, fucking deer antler spray. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah. The league's like, hey, Colts, just out of curiosity, we got you guys on Monday Night Football Week 5 against the Ravens. Is Carson going to be back by then? And the Colts are like, do you want Carson back by then?
Are you
willing to not deer antler spray test Carson? Because we can get him back for that Ravens game.
I'd put some deer antler spray on my knee right now without hesitation.
Who did I see tweet this today? Who was this? What's her name that's on TNT?
Roz Goldon Woody?
No, not Roz.
Rachel Nichols?
No, the analyst who's on the set.
Candace Parker.
Candace Parker, yeah. I want to say Candace Wiggins. Candace Parker tweeted today, like, you remember when you were a kid and you would jump from like the 8th step down to the landing and your parents would be like, no. It's like, my knees wish I could go back and tell that version of me to stop jumping from the 8th step.
Do you agree that this crate challenge is, it's just the dumbest thing you've ever seen? Like, how does this even become a thing?
First of all, no, it is not even close to the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is like, this is, you could, honestly, this crate challenge, if you told me this came from like a fourth grade Olympics, I'd believe you. Like, this is a real physical test, John.
Is the goal of the crate challenge to get over the top?
Yeah, I think the goal is to go all the way up and then all the way back down the other side. Yeah.
Well, why do people get to the top and start wiggling around?
Maybe because it's hard up there? I'm not exactly sure. Maybe the point is just to stay up there as long as possible. I don't exactly know. Another great tweet I saw from somebody, it was a gif of somebody like doing like a what the hell face. And it was like every manager at Safeway showing up to work looking for all their crates on Monday morning.
Well, to me, remember the Tide Pod challenge?
Yeah, what was that? Tide Pod? Yeah, that was way stupider.
I don't know. That one, obviously.
This one is like an Olympic event. Like, this is a real test of balance and.
But guys are clearly breaking arms. Guts. Like, what are we doing here? And it does feel like.
Weeding out society.
Yeah, I think it's a little unfair the people it's taking advantage of, because most of the clips I've seen, it doesn't seem like it's happening at the country club. It's like, what are we doing here?
Well, people,
can we stop? It's a little bit. Remember the golf cart challenge where you'd stand in front of it?
Oh, that one's
remember
awful.
The thing with Barstool and people started breaking legs? They had to like, no more golf carts. This has a vibe to that. Like, everyone's trying to be famous on the internet and they're just going to fucking break their legs.
No question. I saw
it's
one.
It's so painful. I see these guys hit and it's like they're gonna die.
I saw the one that was terrible that I saw was like an older guy up on the thing and like a teenager comes and just knocks the whole thing over and the guy goes down.
Well, if you put some 15-year-olds that I used to run around with, 100%, they're kicking the crates.
Well, I told somebody today, I once jumped off the roof with an umbrella to see if I could float.
What happened?
I landed on the grass. I was fine. Nothing happened. Yeah. I didn't float. So that's for damn sure.
Wasn't a very high. I mean, that's a pretty.
No, it was a flat. 10, 12 feet. You know, yeah, maybe it was a 10-foot roof. Maybe I put a mattress down. I don't remember, but.
Did the umbrella break or nothing happened?
Nothing happened. Like, I think it probably fell out of my arm. I don't really remember. I just remember here's what I know. I've been hurt before. I didn't get hurt in that time.
Gotcha.
I've broken arms doing stupid stuff, but an arm doing a stupid thing. But
you were a cast?
Yeah.
All the kids at school signed it?
Nah, I was like 3.
Oh, a little early for that.
When remember everything that you move? Do is stupid.
I don't feel like they wear normal casts anymore. Maybe they have a new thing. But where I grew up, everyone signed the cast. So you just had all these names all over the cast, like the 10-year-old. There had to be some parents like, what are we doing with our kid? Like,
really is
a
great show of unity, John.
Yeah, it is. It's supporting the
can
little,
I sign
your friend.
Yeah, yeah, and you're embarrassed you're wearing the thing, and then it makes you, like, in a positive way,
it's actually
center of
smart.
Attention.
Yeah, it is. It is smart. You know, takes the... You're right. There's a unity element to it. There's a compassion element to it. And then you just sneak a penis on there. If you got to be a little older. Probably doesn't
you do it
like
in a spot they can't see. Like,
yeah, if you're 7th grade, though, you're definitely getting some penises.
All right. So coming up, don't forget, get in the mailbag. Another one coming at you this week. We got final week of the preseason, college football. Week 0 is here. Oh, somebody just said we've got some roster cuts in the NFL today before we wrap this
Tito's
thing up.
Tito's Tuesday. Well, Tito's they had to get down to like Tuesday. 80. Your guy Craig Kraft cut. It's guys like him.
Michael Kendrick's on IR with turf toe. Corbin Kaufusi, who was the right tackle the other day that you and I were talking about, who basically waved the cape at... protection for Trey Lance. Shalik Calhoun. All right, down to 80. There you go. Dubow.
How about
Marcel Aiken?
There is nothing like you sign a player, like the Niners signed Michael Kendricks. It's like, you know, he's battling back from the insider trading. A day or two later, he shatters his toe and is just on injured reserve. Like, that does not happen in basketball or baseball, typically, right? Where you just get the guy, he immediately plays. I didn't even notice him playing. Now he might have come in the second half. And it's just, his season's over? Like, it just ends.
Remember,
that's pretty nuts.
Remember when the Giants traded Sam Dyson to the Twins? And, like, he immediately, like, he never threw a pitch for them. Like, before, he didn't even get hurt for them. They were like, wait, was he hurt before he got here? You remember that deal?
I remember that. Didn't the Padres do that to somebody and they got in trouble? They sent a hurt guy to a team?
Yeah.
Like the Marlins?
The Ray, yeah.
Or the Rays, yeah. I don't remember the Sam Dyson injury. But in baseball, you send damaged goods. In football, the guy shows up past your physical, you're like, come out to practice. And like 3 days later, his fucking legs bent behind his head, and it's like, his career might never be the same. You're like, you knew him 3 days. It's just, he's on injury. It's just over. Turf toe? Clearly, like, did he just shatter his toe, like, in the game?
Is everyone that what turf just, toe is?
Well, I think it's like a, yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Remember Dion had bad turf toe for a long time?
I think it's extreme like pain. I feel like turf toe can only happen in your big toe, but that could be completely wrong. I always felt it was a big toe injury.
Yeah.
Did you?
I have
think it's like any
felt
toe.
That. But no one's so ever like, you know, the ring toe, the third toe.
It does feel like one of those injuries that doesn't really go away, and it's like more painful. Like the hammy, it just feels tight. Like to me, the turf toe is like shrieking pain in your foot, so you can't run.
Yeah.
Again, this is always Middlecoff doctor in his head. I know nothing about it.
It's besides one of those things that sounds like, it can't be that bad, and it's terrible. It's like really painful.
I feel like the name does not do it justice. Clearly. It should be called like the busted toe or something.
Busted toe. I like that.
Busted toe. Turf toe sounds like, just
6 to 8
take
with busted toe. A busted toe. How's his toe?
IR busted, busted toe.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us today. It's been real.
Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.